Hurricane Hector is flirting with our southeast shores. You might be thinking just what we need, the threat of another natural disaster. It was just last week that Governor David Ige extended a lava disaster declaration for the Big Island for a third time. Other communities have yet to recover from flash flooding. So how are our weather-weary coping? We sat down with Child and Family Service President and CEO Karen Tam to talk about how we're supporting our community's mental health needs.
This is an unending, it feels like an unending process. And, you know, you really feel for the families, the, you know, the impact of the volcano, the impact for the children. And so one of the things that we've done is taking just that proactive approach and creating those Ohana kits, which are backpacks full of coloring books and journals and information on how to watch for, you know, possibilities of mental health issues coming up. Anything that we can do to help people focus on the mental health, even though right now the focus obviously is where are they going to live and where are they going to sleep, but also there's that whole mental health side of things that we want to help families to pay attention to.
Now, I know when this first happened, this latest phase, there were lots of folks that came from the neighbor islands and the mainland to help out. Where are we at with that right now?
You know, I mean, I think that's very typical when something first happens, right? You have a lot of people who are wanting to help. But I think yesterday I had a conversation with our team over in Hilo, and there is, you know, the idea that there is still some ongoing services, but, you know, slowly people are getting back to what they were doing before, and so not as much is available, and reasonably so. You know, some families have found housing and such, but the shelters are still there, and there are still families living in the shelter. They've been homeless since it started, and so the needs are still there.
I know there was talk about maybe setting up a fund so that if folks needed to fly to Oahu or another island from the Big Island to stay with relatives because housing is limited on the Big Island, that was something that was in play. I don't know where
we're at. So, you know, First Hawaiian Bank was the first to step up to do that, which is amazing. And what they did is they said, let us help. And in partnership with others, we have been able to fly some people, mostly to the mainland, actually. And what we try to do is really assess where is their best place for permanent housing. And a lot of the families say it's back to family on the mainland or where they have family on the mainland and not necessarily another island because it's expensive to start over here in the islands. And so what we've seen is families moving, and not just to Vegas. You would think, oh, they're all moving to Vegas. No, they're moving all over the West Coast and even into the Midwest, wherever they have connections and resources to start over.
So are a lot of those folks then transplants?
Not necessarily. They just happen to have family in areas that they can go to. And so, but then, you know, I've heard some stories where people had just moved here from the mainland, bought their house, hadn't even really been situated, and now their house doesn't exist anymore. And so what do we do, you know? And so those families obviously are getting help to move back.
What are we doing at the shelters?
So the shelters, you know, I think the focus at this point is really helping families find the permanent housing. But in the meantime, you want to keep their spirits lifted, right? So one of the things that we've done is try to offer some classes and, like, you know, Zumba or other things to get the energy going, and also just providing those mental health and support services where we can. And so really connecting families. But it is a tough situation, and so we want to keep the spirits lifted and let the families know that there's options out there for them.
And the new school year is also starting.
Yes. And so, you know, one of the things I was saying the other day is that we really need to see how we can get some mental health services in the schools as the kids are coming back together. It's really can be healing when you are talking as a kid to another kid, maybe having experienced the same thing. And so, you know, one of the things we're looking at is how can we support that and get into the schools and work with the kids. I'm sure the teachers will do that naturally, but sometimes it's helpful to have mental health professionals as well from outside come in and really talk with the kids. And so that's going to be happening, hopefully.
I know that there has been some discussion on the part of the Department of Health and the Department of Education about the emissions, the VOG, and how that impacts, you know, our community as the kids start to go back to school again.
Yeah. We've, you know, even in our employees, we have seen an increase in calling out sick because of the breathing issues and the burning of the eyes. Even in our Kona side offices, just an incredible challenge to breathe fresh and clean air and how that's impacting the community. And I would say that that can just create a real frustration and a depression in the community as a whole, as they're trying to just get healthy air. And so, you know, one of the things we're doing as an organization is kind of assessing what can we do to help clean the air, at least in our environment where we bring people in. So installing air conditioners where we never had them, or air filters. But this is an ongoing issue. And so what does that do for the community and for these kids going into an environment where they're trying to learn, but their eyes are burning and their ears are hurting and they're breathing? It is a challenge. Yeah.
I know HCA said that they will be starting to survey residents and folks on the Big Island because of the downturn. You know, they're a little concerned about that. What are you hearing out in the field about that?
Yeah, there's definitely concern that the whole, you know, with the decrease in tourism, the impact on the community, not just those that are impacted by their houses burning and not having their homes, but also the whole community. And so, you know, where some people might be losing their jobs because the hotels aren't as full across the whole island. So the idea of this ongoing natural disaster impacting a community as a whole, it can be really challenging. And I think of like when you're having something going on in your life, you can turn to someone who maybe isn't experiencing it and they can help to lift you up. But in this community, I can imagine that everyone's struggling. Everyone's struggling with breathing quality and other areas, and maybe losing jobs or having less hours to work. And so it's really about impacting the whole community. And so we need to make sure that we offer support to the whole community to help them, you know, survive this ongoing disaster.
There is a cross-section of agricultural workers who found themselves out of jobs because all the papaya fields have been inundated. Lots of different farmers affected. And so those workers, we were told, are looking for work elsewhere. They're moving up the Hamakua coast. But then there's also the stress of that.
Yes. It's like another relocation, right? So you're bringing your kids, your family, in an unplanned move, not something you want to do, but you have to do for your family. And what does that do, and where do you go, and how does that impact the kids? You know, and children, they react in so many different ways. Some might be really resilient, and it doesn't impact them at all. They're just excited. They see it as an adventure. But others may become angry, and others may cry and be depressed and miss their friends. And so, you know, our hope is that families pay attention to that and they're talking about it, making sure that they're having opportunity to share what they're feeling and understand that all of those moves, all of those transitions impact everyone in their own way, and making sure that they're paying attention to that.
And as far as coping skills, I mean, we all, I think, want to be able to be resilient and raise children that can bounce back, and even with adults, you know, you like to think that you're resilient and you can bounce back, but sometimes this goes on for a while, you know, you do get tired.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can't even begin to imagine what it feels like to have it have gone on as long as it has. And so I think really taking breaks, journaling is one way that some people find helpful. Certainly finding an exercise class or some way to get your endorphins going to lift your spirits. I think families on the Big Island really have to be very purposeful about lifting those spirits and helping each other in this time. And so anything they can do to create that, you know, sense of positivity is good. But it is real and it is ongoing, and some will struggle. And so that's why there's therapists and others out there that can help them.
The loss of the recreational area, I think, too, in talking to the scientists, and they lament, oh, it was just a wonderful ecosystem there. And it just was a wonderful resource. And now, you know, there aren't many places like that on the Big Island, or you have to drive far to go to them. So that's a whole nother loss that the community has to process.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because we all have those areas that we're fond of. We grew up going to certain beaches, and so there is that loss. And so where do they go? If that was the one place that they found was the, you know, the most enjoyable place they would go every weekend to get their energy back, then it's trying to find those other locations and other places. And so that was really sad when I heard that that had happened, because I know that was really utilized by the community that's impacted. And so it's difficult.
And I know you had mentioned that there were a number of private entities that stepped up. You said First Hawaiian Bank. There were a number of foundations. What about federal money? Have we been able to tap into anything that would help kind of stretch our dollars?
You know, not at this time for our organization, but I know FEMA has been on ground trying to get money out right to the families, which I think has been great. And so that's where the focus has been for the federal money. But I know that, you know, they are looking at how can they bring federal money in to help. And I think it's really important for all of us to kind of pause, take a moment to look and plan and have a real good assessment of what the needs are. So we're not just throwing things at the community. What is it that they want? What is it they need? And then responding accordingly. And so that's what I'm hoping will happen at this point.
And what about our caregivers, like the folks that you have on the ground that are listening to the stories and providing therapy for these affected victims?
Yeah, so in our field, we call that vicarious trauma. So it's experiencing the trauma through someone else's story. And so we, as an organization, really do a lot to help take care of our caregivers, to those who are listening to the stories. And so what I always say to them is, if you need a break, take a break. If you need some time off, if you need to go to a neighbor island, if you, you know, need to breathe some fresh air, whatever it takes, we want to make sure that you're healthy so you can help others. And so we always pay attention to that. It can be really weighing on those that are helping as well.
And I'm not sure if you're helping also with the folks on Kauai, because I know that community got the brunt of the floods, and then
yes,
the lava happened, and then a lot of the attention shifted. But there are folks on Kauai and also here on Oahu who are still homeless,
yes,
because of those floods.
Yes, actually, the Hawaii Community Foundation has given us a grant, and we are providing counseling and support and case management for families on Kauai as well. And it was like the perfect storm. I mean, everything happening at once, and you feel for the Kauai community because the attention went to the Big Island. But there's a lot going on and healing going on over there as well. I believe the roads are going to be opening up soon if they're not already open, and that's going to be helping the community. But we've been right out there in the community helping families, and it's been really hard to hear the stories of that horrific flood as well.
There are limited funds. There are probably other nonprofits who may be seeing less money come in.
Oh, yeah, because the money always comes from one, right? So you have to kind of take from one to pay for the needs that are current or more important at the time. And so I haven't heard anything at this point, but I'm sure that there's, you know, restrictions to some funding as the money is going towards the immediate needs on the Big Island and Kauai. You know, people often say to me as I'm talking to them, well, how can we get involved? How can we help? And I think it's important for the Big Island and for Kauai for people to understand that this is not a short-term thing. It's taking time to heal. Even on Kauai, it's taking a long time. And so let's not forget, you know, let's, as a community in Hawaii, we're all ohana. So let's work together. Let's make sure that we continue to care for our community. And so where people can dig and give some funds to help with services, that's great, but don't forget that there's also still needs. And so if you're wanting to volunteer or help in other ways, that is still needed. And, you know, it's easy to move on because other things happen, but this is still real, and we want to make sure that we don't forget and we keep being as a community there for each other.
All right. Karen Tan, thank you very much for spending time with us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Karen Tan, president of Child and Family Service, talking about meeting the mental health needs of our communities during long-term disasters.